So praise God. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 16 as we end this chapter and pick up where we left off last week. As you remember, we were talking about how Paul was mentioning, there's about 33 individuals. Most of them were women, and no one mighty or noble, just plain ordinary believers, and who had a special quality in their relationship with Christ, and that was recognized and that was mentioned. They were known for, and that was what they did for the Lord, and their love for God, and simple faith of laboring for the Lord. And others were laboring. There were some who were laboring. Others were laboring much. Those who were loved the body of Christ, served in the church, served the leadership, just things that we do now. And I think if we were in the Bible, if you were written in the Bible, I think we probably would be written in chapter 16 of Romans. Our names would be in there. You ever think about that? Wouldn't that be cool? Steve Morales, because there's a lot of Steve, so we want to recognize the right one. Steve Morales, loved the brother greatly, you know, the fellowship of the saints, you know, something very simple, practical, but real. You know, it ain't going to say Steve Morales, he parted Ocean Beach, you know, it ain't going to be anything like that, you know. It's going to be my faith and my relationship with Christ, and that's what I'm going to be known for. That's what I'm known for now. And so Paul brings that out, and it gets me to think about what will you be known for? You know, when you leave here, or when you live and you walk this earth, what are you known for? What is it that everybody recognize you the most about? And I pray that it'll be something that has to do with the Lord, and that doesn't have to do with the world. It doesn't have to do with yourself, but has to do with Christ. Whether it's just how you love people and how you had a servant's heart, or you know, you're caring. Those are all qualities that come from God. That it wouldn't be something that I was known for in the days before I came to Christ. I was known for somebody who caused havoc, you know, and that was he was known for as that gangster, or whatever they used to call us back in the day, 70s, you know. And but now I want to be known for my love for Christ. So Paul was talking about this, and then, you know, he gives these special greetings to those that were very special to him. And from there, he goes right into warning those who we need to look out for and to avoid as much as possible. So it's really interesting that, you know, you get in there and you read it. It's like, wow, this is good, man. Oh, this person's blessed with this quality. Whoa, warning, Dr. Smith, you know, that robot. Warning. His arms are going like this, you know. I remember when I used to watch that, I used to try to make my arms go like that. I used to be able to. Now I can't do that, obviously. My arms is just, now it's like, oh, you know. But he comes up with these warnings. So now let's look at verse 17, and we'll pick up right there, because that's where pretty much we left off. Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the heart of the simple." So again, Paul, he says we need to consider these people. You know, we need to mark them. We need to take heed. We need to look at those who are bringing division and offenses. And he says those who are doing these things, we have to avoid them. Now, again, this warning that he gives us, it comes directly after Paul greets the believers in Rome, the Church of Rome, and I believe all Christians. And right after Paul had a lot of good things to say about these different believers, and that meant a lot to him. And then all of a sudden he changes his greetings and his compliments that he was sharing about them, and he issues these severe warnings. And I think that's what our life consists of. You know, we're set on doing the Lord's will. You know, we look forward to serving God. We look forward to what God's going to do in our lives. And sometimes we can forget that, you know what? The enemy is also looking forward to bringing havoc in our lives. And we got to be on guard. Well, because I think, you know, Paul, when he mentions about all these compliments about these believers here, and then he goes into these warnings, I think he was reminding those 33 people that he gave such great testimony of their godly character. And just like the Bible reminds us, the body of Christ, that where the blessings of the Lord comes and where there are, where the work and the hand of the Lord is moving to do something great in your life or within the church and within the community, not far behind will the work of the enemy be. You ever notice that? I'm sure every one of you have. Why do you think you have trials? Why do you think you have spiritual warfare? Why do you think something always happens when you step out or you want to step out to serve the Lord, you want to do something for God, all something comes up? Hey, Pastor, I get this. Pastor, I was going to come, but this came up. Why do you think it came up? You know, because it's that warning. Hey, the enemy's not far behind when you want to do something for the Lord. When God's hand is moving in our lives, the enemy's going to be right behind. He's going to try to cut in God's work. He's going to cut in on his testimony, his sovereignty, and his church. And I think that's what the devil's after mostly. You know, he could care less about you, I think. He can care less about your marriages. You know, we got a lot of broken marriages and marriages that are suffering, not only non-Christian, but Christian. And I think the saint could care less about your marriage. What he's after is your relationship with Christ. He's after that daughter and son relationship. He's just using those things as the tool to get you to stop trusting in the Lord. That's what he's after. And you want to know why? Because he was the head worship leader in heaven. He knows what it's like to worship God. He knows what it's like to have this position in Christ and this relationship with God. So he knows what it's like. And so that's what he's really after. And so he's going to try to cut in on that work of God. He's going to try to ruin God's testimony. That's what people do when they attack the church, when they attack Christians. Who are they really trying to attack? God's testimony. I mean, you see it on TV every time. You see through movies or through commercials where they so-called bring in God and or Jesus or the church, and then it turns around, and what they're doing is they're making fun of it. I'll never forget that time when the Union Tribune put it in a cartoon on their newspaper, that's when newspapers were around. Do they still sell newspapers? Okay. It's been such a long time, you know. And Steve Kelly had a picture of Jesus and Oral Roberts, and he says, in big caption, it says, Oral Roberts, Jesus saves, Oral invests. And then it had a big dollar bill and Jesus in the middle. Mocking God. That's what he was mocking. You know, and so that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to mock his testimony, his sovereignty. He wants to give the church a bad name. It's sad that I had to watch on the news that one pastor in, I think, East County who was arrested for child molestation. I don't know if you saw it. Another one, the mighty have fallen. So sad because it mocks God. It mocks, the devil mocks God. He mocks the church, he mocks the people and the work of God. And that's what he's after. So Paul felt that the church needed this strong exhortation, a reminder against the enemy and those who try to sneak in and bring about these offenses. And when I say these offenses, when he talks about that offenses, he's talking about complaints and arguing, grumbling, murmuring. That was a different language, though. And those who are arguing, grumbling all the time, even promoting another teaching or a different doctrine, because that's what the divisive people do. That's what they live for. That's what they try to bring division and offenses. But these are the ones, I'm talking about the ones that practice these things. That's their mission, and that mission is to divide and to conquer. That's exactly how Satan works. That's how the enemy works. And the most effective way for them to divide and to offend in the body of Christ is to quietly sneak in without you knowing, without the leadership knowing. Hey, I'm just going to kind of sneak right in there and be part of the body of Christ, get involved in some kind of teaching, some kind of leadership position, and where, you know, I can be an influence on a lot of the body of Christ. Just like he says in verse 18. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, they come and they deceive the hearts of the simple. Is your heart simple? When he says the heart of the simple, he's talking about those who are not growing in Christ. And it even can talk about some of the more mature believers as well. Look at the pastor who fell. Paul knew this well, so he's mentioning it here in this chapter, in the very last chapter of his letter to the church of Rome. He says, watch out. He says, take heed and do it by growing in the Lord so you can keep witnessing for the Lord. So you can continue to move forward in your walk with the Lord. And I think the reason why we should notice and avoid a person who's in the church for one purpose, and that is to divide and to deceive, is because that person can cause division. And that person is his whole purpose is to bring a stumbling block in against the teaching of the Word of God, against the truth of the Word of God, against the Lord himself, against God's people. Now look what Paul says in verse 17. He says, I urge you, brethren, note those people who cause divisions and offensive contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. So I think there's a few key words we need to note here. Very important when it comes to division and offenses. Paul says that a person who's there to divide, he says they act contrary to the doctrine which we as believers have learned. And the whole reason is, again, so he can cause division and offenses. Now, listen to what the word division he mentions here in verse 17. The word division means to standing apart. It means being separated. It means causing a strong split. Because that's what division does. It divides a church. It look at all the denominations that have came through division. And I know God does use them all. But can you imagine if we had one church of God? Can you imagine if all of San Diego met in the Qualcomm Stadium on Sunday morning? We would be over there. I would be up there like this, teaching, and everybody else be sitting there all around. I wish. Then I woke up, you know. Wouldn't that be awesome if every church was one church? Can you imagine the impact that we would have on the world? But we're not. We're divided. It's because when a person, when he divides the churches, the purpose, he's there to bring a stumbling block against the teaching of the Word of God. And we need to watch out for these divisions. And then the word offenses, that means laying a stumbling block in someone's way or causing someone to fall. That's what an offense does. It causes people to stumble and fall. The word, offensive, again, it's very important to know. And division is very important for us to watch out for, because these are the type of people that when it says they act contrary to the doctrine which we as believers have learned, this is what they're attacking. They're attacking the Word of God. They're attacking our faith. They're attacking the church. The very things that we believe that are true and in the Word of God, and they're bringing these divisions and they're bringing these offenses. And so I think, again, they attack the doctrine of the simplicity of the gospel of God in Jesus Christ. A simple word. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The very scriptures that we need to add to our faith. That's what they're attacking. The very word that enables us to serve the Lord. It shows us how to love one another, how to commit our total being to the Lord. The very words of Christ that we need to take to the world, which is the salvation message, is constantly being attacked. Even the churches now in China, and not only the underground, but the foreign churches are now being attacked, where they're confiscating the Bibles from there as well. And so it's happening. It's just a matter of time when it happens here, guys. And when it does, are you going to be aware of it? Are you going to notice it? Is it going to affect you in a way where it's going to cause you to rise up and even move forward in your walk with the Lord? A divisive person acts contrary to these very acts, the teaching of the Word of God in Christ. They oppose the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. They oppose the church. I'm talking the believers. And they come for that very reason. And Paul says we need to avoid them. Listen to what the word avoid means. It means we have to shun them. It means we have to turn away from them. We have to keep away from them and to remove ourselves from them. So this is Paul saying this. He's saying stay away from those who and have nothing to do with them. But he also says that we need to note them, or in the King James, if you have the King James, it might say mark. The word means to keep your eyes on them, to look at them, to observe them, to focus upon them, and to contemplate, to scrutinize those who live to bring division and offenses within the body of Christ. And not just their sins, okay, not just the sin and what they do, but the person himself Paul's talking about, guys. Those who are here to rob, steal, and kill. Everything that pertains to the Lord and his work, that's what they're trying to rob, steal, and kill. Avoid. We have to avoid them. We have to turn away from them. And not, again, not just their sin. We are not to have anything to do with a divisive person. We need to pray for their salvation. Because only the Lord can change them, not us. It's not like, okay, you're a divisive person. You know, get away from me and, you know, burn in hell. No. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that the Lord will change their lives. I mean, I've talked to people who just literally say, no, I don't want Jesus. I can't change them. So they can stop me from talking to them about Jesus, but they can't stop me from talking to Jesus about them. And a lot of times they'll say, well, I don't believe in God. I said, that's okay, but God believes in you. And God can do it. We can't do it, but God can do it. And the reason why Paul says we need to stay away from them is you don't want to take a chance of being influenced or stumble over what they say and do, do you? I don't. We had a brother who snuck himself inside this church, I would say back in the early 90s, you know, and he just kind of hung out with the pastors and elders, you know, and he was nice. I mean, he seemed like a great guy and everything. And one day we used to have every Sunday, instead of coming up here and pray, we would told people to go back into the prayer room. If you need prayer, go back there. There'll be an elder and pastor. Well, one of our elders was back there by himself, and this guy walked in there. He says, hey, you know what? I got this cover. Go ahead. You can leave. He wasn't even a pastor. He wasn't even in leadership. And so what did the elder do? He got up and he left. So that guy was in there with the ladies. Now, nothing happened, but he came in and he started attacking the very word of God by bringing in these other doctrines. And finally, it came to our attention, and we said, one Sunday morning he was here and again doing his thing. And at the end of the service, the pastors, the elders, we got together. We took him in this room over here, and we confronted him on what he was doing. Well, that brother left. We never saw him again. You know, we got to mark them. We got to be careful, because you don't want to stumble or take a chance to be influenced by them. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speeches, they deceive the heart of the simple. You know what? They know how to use flattering words to deceive. They know how to talk Christianese. They're like smooth criminals. You know that song, Smooth Criminals? I think Michael Jackson talked about. And with their persuasive words, they can lead people to take sides with them. And that's how they do it. They can act very godly. And it's all for the purpose of showing those who they want to deceive that they care for them. And, you know, they're interested in them and they're concerned for them. That's how they're wolves in sheep clothing. And they're not going to deceive everyone, according to verse 18. It says there that they do these things, and they're going to deceive the heart of the simple. So they're not going to deceive everyone, but many of those who are simple-hearted. We're talking about the young in the Lord, those who are vulnerable, those who don't have their priorities in line with the Lord. Those are the ones that they go after. And their goals is to what? Get you to think like them, believe like them, live like them, follow after them, after what they follow, to talk like them. And it's all for the purpose of deceiving, because that's what their father does. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false prophets, apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers of can also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You know the person who hacked my Facebook? The minute they hacked my Facebook, they immediately went after everybody who was friends with me. And this guy acted like me. He talked like me. That's why everybody thought it was me. They were talking, hey, praise God. Isn't God great? Yeah, praise God. My niece, she said, yeah, I thought it was you, because he says, hey, I got some great news. And so she says, so I told him the birth of Christ is. Yeah, amen, the birth of Christ. And did you know? They use these flattering words. And, you know, I don't know if this is the same guy who hacked my phone and my email as well, but the guy who hacked my phone, he said that, he goes, you know what? I know this is wrong, but this is what I do. This is what I was made for. This is what they live for, to do these things, because they're the work, they follow after their father, the devil, who's there to rob, steal, and kill. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. How many of you believe we're in the last days? It's obvious, right? For men will be lovers of themselves. You see people walking around, you know, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, and here it is, here's though they sneak in the church, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, a lot of housewives are deceived and are preyed upon by those male men and those who come into the homes and do different things to the homes. Where the women, the housewife is there, and they come in and they build a relationship. And that's why he says, hey, they come after these gullible women. They creep into the homes. And because, you know, you guys, we got to be there for our wives, because they watch TV. You know, and I don't know. Hopefully you ladies aren't watching what do they call it, soap operas? They were really big in the 90s. I don't know if they still have them now. And they always say, well, I wish my husband looked like him or acted like him. And you come home, hey, you know, how's it going? And they look at you and look at him and, wow, look what the cat dragged in, you know. So we got to be careful. I think, guys, we are in these times, don't you? We are. Look at verse 19. I love Paul. He goes on and says, you know what, you guys? Your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. Greetings. Amen. What's that? Another interpretation of amen is right on. You know, right on if you want to, you know. So Paul says, you know, we got to be wise in what is good. You got to be simple in what is evil. So we must constantly be focusing on what is good and what is from above. We need to be strong and we need to grow in the what? The spiritual things. We got to guard ourselves from the evil that's all around us. It's all around us. And we're only going to do that by our obedience to the Lord. And that's just simply whatever you are doing for the Lord, keep doing it. Keep laboring. And then some, labor much. You know, like we talked about in those sisters, who those who labor for the Lord, and then there was those who labor much for the Lord. The word here is simple. He talks about in verse 19. It means, listen to what it means. Very important. It means unmixed, unadulterated. It means pure, innocent. It means without mixture of evil. It means don't merge with evil. Don't merge with evil. Don't allow it to come into your Christianity. Don't let the world, don't merge with the world. Don't ride the fence. You're either for him or you're against him. You can't be lukewarm. So if we as believers, if we are constantly focusing and concentrating upon what is good, then we will learn to keep the bad out of our fellowship, out of our church, both personally and corporately. Out of your relationship with God, you'll learn to stand up for what is right, and you'll learn to kill the flesh. Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look, listen to what he said in verse 3. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So how do we do it? Well, be obedient. How do you take every thought into captivity? This is where the battle is, right? That devil, he's slick. You know, you're trying to get concentrated on the Lord, and all of a sudden you get sidetracked a lot. Start taking your thoughts into captivity. How I do it is I start praying. Like Pastor Lou said, I pray in my thoughts. I start worshiping the Lord. I start singing and worshiping, and then my focus is off whatever Satan throws in my mind. And I start looking to the things from above. We got to take our thoughts into captivity. And he says if we're obedient to Christ, then the disobedience in our life will be destroyed. So you change one habit. How? With another habit. So your obedience to the word of God, to your faith in Christ, will destroy the disobedience. Guys, we gotta guard our heart from this present evil. We got to be wise in the spiritual matters. We got to stand fast in our faith. We got to stand against the dividers and the opposers, the deceivers that are within and without, especially within. Ariel Durant, she was a famous Russian writer. She quoted this: a great civilization is not conquered from without until it has destroyed itself from within. And I believe that. That's how the church gets destroyed from within first, and then it gets destroyed from without. It gets taken apart from the world. And that's what dividers and opposers try to do. This is what they live for. So we got to let our lives be spoken of as one who knows what the Lord requires of us, having obedience that we're seeking the Lord. We want to seek after his righteousness first, because then we know everything else is going to follow. One that is loving one another and seeking unity within the body of Christ. Let me ask you this. What will your faith be spoken of? I want to give you an example. I think Brother Frank, I don't see him here this morning. Brother Frank, every day I see him out here, he's in the cameras, you know, he's out walking the perimeter of God's house, and he's picking up trash, he's picking up cigarette butts, he's picking up things you probably wouldn't want to pick up. He's picking up every day, and this is what he's known for. This is how I know Frank, by his love for the house of God. And he's out there passing out tracts, he's out there witnessing. This is what his faith is being spoken of. What will your faith be spoken of? Man, I hope when they talk about me that they can say I was a godly man and I love the Lord and I you know, love people. I hate for them to speak of me something differently. You know, we got to be obedient. We got to seek His righteousness. We need to be a church that is diligently seeking the things of God and abhor what is evil. That's what the Lord wants from us. And if we can be like the early church, remember Acts chapter 2, verse 46, where the early church, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, fellowshipping with one another, breaking bread from house to house, getting involved, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily who those were being saved. If we can be like that, guys, then we'll see the Lord, at what Paul talks about in verse 20. Look at verse 20. He said, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Amen. Man, we're going to see the victory that comes from the Lord within the church, within our personal lives. Don't you want this to happen in your own personal life and here at Horizon North Park now? I don't want to wait till Jesus returns. You know, I'm tired of seeing the enemy have his way in the church. We just need to be obedient to the truth of the Word of God, to the gospel, and be ignorant to the work of the evil that's in the world. And when I mean be ignorant of it, I'm not saying, you know, be dense from it. But know it's there and stay away from it. Hate it. We're in the time where the church is being challenged with calling good evil and evil good. That's what we're being challenged with. And we got to stand fast in our faith because the church is fallen. And if we do this, then we will see God doing what? The crushing of Satan under our feet. Don't you want to see that? We don't crush him. We can't crush him. The Lord does that. We get to see it happen under our feet. It's like God's crushing Satan, then he gets your foot and he puts it right there and you get to see it. That's what I want within the church. Look at verse 21. And Paul says, and Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, they greet you. And I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. I like his name, Tertullus. Kind of reminds me of tortilla. Tortillas, you know. It makes me hungry. But, you know, it's interesting about this guy, Tertullus. Not only was he a fellow worker of Paul, but he was actually Paul's personal secretary. This guy actually Paul dictated the epistle, the book of Romans, to this brother. He wrote down everything that the Spirit spoke through Paul. So he was like his personal secretary. But what I want you to notice about him is that he had this personal relationship where he knew the Lord. And he was bold enough to proclaim it in his testimony here in verse 22. He says, I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. It wasn't Paul who wrote or sent his greeting to the church. I love the fact that he takes it upon himself to send his own greetings. He wanted to greet the believers in Rome, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in his own name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. By proclaiming his own faith, his own ministry in the Lord. So this was very important to him that he would do this. Look what he says in verse 22. I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. So I think we need to keep in mind, guys, that whatever you do for the Lord, whether it's great, whether it's a little, whether it's just enough, or whether it's big or small, it should be important to you as well. It doesn't matter if you are an evangelist like Paul or if you're a secretary like Tertullus. Whether you're giving a Bible study or you're giving someone a cup of water. Make it important to you and do it as unto the Lord. That's what he did. Everything you do for God, let it be important. Let it be special knowing that God placed that in your position, in your hands to do it. And look what he says in verse 23. He says, and Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greet you. And Cortus, a brother. Well, obviously, these brothers, they were committed to Christ. They were known for serving the church, They were servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had this brotherly heart and this brotherly love for people, helping and standing with other believers as brothers in the Lord, which we should, and that's what they're being recognized as. And, you know, we don't know who, I've never read about these guys except for right here, but this is what they're known for. And he goes on, verse 24, he says, "In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen." So as we take communion, I'm going to wait to read verse 25 through 27 until we get our communion. I just want you to, again, think about your faith in Christ. Think about what you're going to be known for. Think about what Jesus has put in your hands or what he's doing through you and how important it is to you what you do for the Lord. Look at verse 25. And Paul ends chapter 26. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifested, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So the mystery of the gospel is revealed to everyone for a purpose, for the very purpose that they would be led to the obedience of their faith. The Lord wants that from every one of us. He wants us to love him and to trust him. He wants us to love us, and he wants to care about us. And he showed this through his son when he came and he gave his life down for a ransom for us. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And then in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't it beautiful to know that he died for us when we were the worst we could ever be? When we were sinners. He didn't die for you when you were the best you could be. He died when you were the worst. That's how much he loved us. So as we pray, we take communion, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember everything that he has done for you. Remember that he's the one that established your faith. He's the one that caused you to be born again. And he wants to burn that faith. He wants it to grow within you so that you will serve him and that you would labor for him and labor much for him, and that you would show the brotherly kindness and the love of Christ to others and to get the gospel out there. So as we partake, just be thankful that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.